recall, like, you had some bag issues going on with your car.
Oh yeah, that's actually getting fixed right now as we speak, because I'm too lazy to do anything to the car anymore. Nor do I have the place to really do it. But yeah, no, that the rear bags are getting fixed at the moment as we speak. Well, swapped out.
So you figured out what the leak was?
Well, there was no leak. It was it turned into a pineapple. So like on the round of the band, there's like this metal, you know, cords that like keep it solid. Like, no, it bursted. So like it looked like SpongeBob's house down, you know, under the sea. It was pretty wild. And I was advised to not drive on it, but I drove on it for like 2 weeks after that too. And like every bump I hit, like it was just like, you know, just like waiting for it. Like the wait, is it going to happen? But luckily nothing happened, and it's sitting at the shop right now getting ready for low show.
Man, even I'm sure coming to the office, you were just like...
Oh, dude, you know the road that we drive on every day.
That's what I'm saying. I'm sure you were loving that.
God, it's so bad. It was so bad. But luckily, new struts, new bags, courtesy of Bag Riders.
Nice.
And yeah.
So one of the things we've been talking about recently is I think we've all sort of, as car folk, quote unquote, aspirational car purchases. And I feel like this could go a lot of different ways. Right.
It
could
either be many different ways.
Super new. It could be OG. It could be builds. Like it really kind of can run quite the gamut. And even throughout the office, we're finding a couple of folks that have sort of different cars of mine.
And different opinions. So many different opinions over here.
Everyone's got opinions.
Everyone's got an opinion.
And so in your case, Where does your journey start as far as cars that you would want to own? Aspirational cars you would want to own.
There's so many, but like the first one that I'm definitely going to have to come into mind right now is a W124 500E. Probably one of my favorite cars and one car that I'd love to have in the garage at one point in my life, but it's just getting so far more out of reach just the more and longer you wait. But yeah, that's by far, for me, body lines are amazing on it. Design and built by Porsche as well. The thing with it, it's, what is that, an M119 5.0 V8 in there? Like, you can't go wrong.
You know, that car in particular, like, there's a lot going on with it because it's basically a widened E-Class, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And then in the production of that car, it started production in Mercedes, and if I recall, they were then shipped to Porsche.
Yep.
To go through the manufacturing plant there and then back to Mercedes. So that car is almost just as much of a Porsche
as it is a Mercedes. So, and as everybody knows, I'm a big V-dub Audi Porsche guy, so of course. But the Albanian in me just sticks with the Mercedes, and it's like, I need it. Like, I need it. I need it, but that would probably be my first go-to if I ever just hit the lotto and was like, all right, first garage, let's go. And that's probably going to be the first car in there.
A really good buddy of mine, Marco Girassi, who owns TLG Auto in North Hollywood, Porsche repair shop. He had one of those for a period of time, and we went on a couple drives and like, dude, that he even went to the, here's the best part. So in Carson, where they have the Porsche Experience Center, they have a Cars and Coffee, and I forget what, I think you call it like Morning Shift or something along those lines at that location. And he rolled up with that car for a Saturday meet. Oh, and they're like, oh yeah, you're more than welcome to come on in. Like it is, again, it's just as much of a Porsche as it is a Mercedes.
Oh yeah.
I mean, and just the flares of those fenders.
The body lines are just beautiful on that car.
Super comfortable drive. Like that's a car I could drive across the U.S., like do big road trips in and have zero doubts for that drive.
Yeah, not one bit.
Yeah.
That 5.0, don't get me wrong, you'll be stopping at the gas station a lot with that V8. But either way, that thing is it's the one dream that I'd love to have. I'd love to have that car.
Right. But I mean, like if you're owning that car, are you really concerned about the pump?
No, not one bit. That's why I want it.
So over on my side, like, I don't know. I have a pretty eclectic taste in cars. You know, I would almost argue that my aspirational car is currently in my garage. Like it was the car I grew up with and family car and stuff like that. But, you know, always interested in adding to the stable, so to speak. And there's one car that I almost pulled the trigger on several years ago. And this is back when I was working in a bicycle shop. And I wanted to build a 2002, BMW 2002, but then put a VW TDI motor in it.
V-dub for the win. You can't go wrong. It's
that was like, that was in the heat of Dieselgate, right? Mm-hmm. And so the motors were bountiful across the board. And I would want to do one of the earlier ones that was like 69 to 71 with the round rear taillights.
Mm-hmm.
I think when it was like 72 or 73, they moved to the square taillights. But one of the builds that I absolutely love from these things is he's a fiberglass, carbon fiber guy out of Costa Mesa, California. And he's called Son of Cobra.
Mm-hmm.
And he does this full, I think now he offers like a full carbon tub. And he also does like a full carbon fiber kit. Yeah, like there you go. It just has the right amount of bulge to it. Without being like, this is definitely a hail perfect. To early, like vintage, like, well, at this point now vintage racers.
Yeah.
But like the 2002s at the time of like, you know, racing cars, dude, that thing fits the bill.
Oh, that is actually a very sick build.
Yeah. And they do offer like a full carbon tub. Now I think they're going to be doing, it seems like they're going to like a much lower volume of like the Singer, like what the, you know, what Singer is the 911.
Of course.
I think Son of Cobra's doing the same thing, but like, if you notice, like he does surfboards, does really nice fiberglass work, but the way that he's tucked the rear bumper into that car, it's carbon, super lightweight.
I like that tuck on the rear bumper.
Yeah.
It just cleans up the body line so much on that car.
Yep. And that car already has, like, I mean, if you remove the bumpers on, especially the front bumper, it has a really clean look to it to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
But that, just that bulge and like the right size tire, like, you know, and the great thing about those is that you don't need a lot of wheel for those to get what you need. One, they don't weigh a lot.
No, they don't weigh a lot at all. That's why all that 180 is all you really need on there.
Well, I mean, yes, it's slightly sacrilege to put a, you know, a diesel in that car.
Yeah, but we're not purists over here, you know. The purists are the ones that are sitting there that'll turn around and walk away from you when you try to have this conversation. But
yeah.
No, we're the furthest thing from purists, I think.
Like we're fans of the spectrum, right? Mm-hmm. And like in the case of that TDI motor, that 1.9, I mean, tons of bottom end torque. Like you don't need to spool that thing out. Now, granted, would I want to do like an S52 swap with ITBs and kind of go down the road? Oh, yes.
Another great way, but I think that 1.8 diesel would probably cost you a lot less.
Significantly.
I
mean, even from a bolt-on perspective of doing a couple things, the motor gets more power out of it. You know, even just tune/tip. Chip category kind of thing, way easier to get power out of that motor than say do like a full S52 build.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, but on that note though, like, you know, these days, like family wise as much as I would love to have like two-door sports cars and all that kind of stuff.
See, but now you can get a 500E. It's perfect for the whole family,
right? But what about an E30 wagon?
E30 wagon would be nice.
See, that's another one that's on my quote-unquote bucket list. And there was one that Max just pulled out that was recently just sold on Bring a Trailer. Daytona purple metallic color.
Ah, oh, that color.
It just
see, but that even on the OE wheels, it's just cleaned right out yes. of the factory. It's
absolutely.
Just, oh man, that's that color is, and it didn't even go for that much.
It's affordable, right?
Very affordable. Something that you would think like, oh, that thing's going to be over 50K. Like, no, it's really not.
And here's the deal. I wouldn't change this car. Like, this is one of the few cars that, as it is, I just would not touch it. I would just leave it stock. Granted, this would be a solid candidate for an S52 swap and a couple other things. But for what this is intended for, kind of its purpose, I would leave it OE, like, you know, maybe obviously do some wheels and stuff like that, but I mean, keep it
family, the family wagon.
Yeah, like, you know, it's not necessarily a family truckster, but like the family hauler, like, you know, kind of get around and, you know, kind of scratches that, you know, collector car itch kind of a deal without, you know, breaking the bank and all the right looks. You know, even, see, the thing I love about the E30 wagons is, yes, the front end has a very iconic look to it, as Max is showing here. Like, you can't get any more iconic of that area of BMW. But the rear three-quarter view of that car, like right there with the wagon and how smooth everything is, like, you know, you and I talked a while back with regards to wagons where it seems like all the design work was done on the front end of the car. But then when you get to the back of the car, it's like, oh, shoot, we got to get to production, like, done, just draw the line.
No, but see, I think early 90s or even 90s, early 2000s, Euro, at least, you know, when it comes down to Audis, Mercedes, and the BMWs, they've always held it down when it comes down to the wagons. From beginning to end, always held it down. From body lines, I agree with you on that one. Like, the rear, just, it's perfect. Everything lines up perfectly on the rear when it comes to the taillights, the wagon, versus it just looking like you chopped off half a Volvo and stuck it on to another car. Like BMW, Mercedes, Audi, they hold it down. And see, that would be my go-to right there, would be your, well, RS4 Avant would be your, my wagon hauler, if you want to say.
Couple that more right years there. Before you can import one.
I know. But you could even get like your S4 wagons already here, like at the 2.7 swap, not a 2.7 swap, sorry. It came with the 2.7. Solid motor when it runs, when it doesn't, good luck type of deal. There are definitely some horror stories that I've heard from your 2.7 crowd. I have a buddy included, and he's probably going to watch this, and he's probably going to be like, dude, what the hell?
Yeah, but I would do the V8 route. I like Audi and the V8s of that era, you know, very reminiscent of like fuel economy wise, like the 500E.
Yeah, like, but you could get your gulper. You get that into your B7s. The B7s was that V8 era.
But like, to your point though, I mean, the beautiful thing about those earlier Audi wagons is that the back of the car, as we were talking about, like, it was actually part of the design. It wasn't like, oh shoot, like, end it. But like,
no, that look, view right there, it's beautiful. It's perfect.
Weak in the knees. Like, that just does it.
Don't get me wrong. I personally would rather have the sedan, but you give me an RS4, a B5 RS4 Avant, I'm running. I'm taking that in a heartbeat.
I mean, the sedans, sedans are definitely one to consider, but just something about this size of wagon and like car just as a whole, just checks all the boxes.
I've said it before and I'll say it again. Audi holds it down with the wagons. They've never really made a wagon that I'm like, that thing looks ugly. Or like, it looks ugly in the rear. Like, everything from front to end has always been a plus for me with the Audi stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
See, and then where I would depart from here, though, is, I guess, getting more to like the roots of cars, you know, sort of appreciate, not that I don't appreciate other cars, but like a 996 GT3.
Oof, another one.
Yeah, like
the stepchild, as they say.
But like, you know, the 996s have a bad rep. They're like, oh, the fried egg face, and like.
And do you want to know? I don't care. I'd love a 996.
Yeah,
I'd love to have that in my garage. Don't get me wrong, a 997 would be more my go-to, but that 996 definitely it does hold a spot. And because I had a Porsche dealership down the road from my house. And to be honest, growing up, always passing by and always seeing what the new model was, that 996 was at that era where I was like old enough to be like, no, that's what I want.
Yeah, like those are pretty sweet. It's in the 987.2 where they did the gray with the red accents.
Mm-hmm.
I forget. It was the GT3 RS that had that. And that car... Dude, the white.
It was like a Nardo. Yep. There's actually. Yep. I just saw one of those recently at a meet.
Yep.
Ah, it's so beautiful.
And like the full collector version of that car is the 4-liter car.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that is the, if you could have bought one new, and just parked money, Like that would have appreciated more than the stock market is a 4-liter car. But this setup, that red and that Nardo gray, I don't know if they're calling it Nardo gray. It's a
type of Nardo gray. And if somebody wants to call me out on the actual name on it, sure, go for it.
it's a pastel gray. It's a dark pastel gray.
But the red and gray combo is a nice touch. It's a lot going on. Not your daily driver type of thing, but right there, that's a beautiful car to have in the garage.
But of all the RSs, like, I feel like this was a great departure for Porsche.
Mm-hmm.
Not that they've not done, like, Porsche and color is synonymous, right? Like, mm-hmm. they're known for their colors, but to have such a contrasting palette on that car and just go from like gray to red, like a bright red, is just a total. And even like the non-RS variant, like what Max pulled up here, it's just clean, simple, and like a total.
A 997 total turbo has my heart probably more than, I'd rather have a 997 turbo. I know everybody's going to say it's a GT3, but like something for me, that 997 turbo body and the lines on it and everything, it's beautiful.
And I wonder though, like from a buy perspective, if the 996 turbos are still, because for a period of time, those were like, if you wanted to get into the Porsche landscape, mm-hmm. like the turbo landscape, you know, all the 997s, 991s, all those were starting to get into real crazy money. But for whatever reason,
the 996 turbo was
like the buy. Now, granted, not an aspirational buy by any stretch of the imagination.
But you it depends on who you're talking to, though. Like, don't get me wrong. When money's not endless, like, this is a solid buy. For under 50K, get into a 911 turbo, I'd 100% take a 996.
That's a Florida car right there.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to go put miles in the coastal region.
Well, we're not saving, you know, we're not saving miles for the next owner or anything around here. I want to beat the car.
Well, you want to enjoy it, right? Yep. Like, there's an old quote from Jerry Seinfeld, and he's like, the person that's losing the game is the guy that's got the most miles on the car. Or sorry, the least miles on the car.
Yeah, yep. Yeah,
least miles on the car.
And he's right.
Like, own it. Enjoy it.
100%. Why buy it if you're not going to drive it?
Yep. But like that 996 GT3, so that one that Max pulled up is actually... I think now was owned by a good buddy of mine, and man, like just a stunner of a car. And it's sort of the last raw 911 you can get your hands on. Now, granted, don't get me wrong, like the new GT3s are craziness, but there's something that car, I don't even think had like PASM or whatever acronym you want to, you know, Porsche acronym you want to throw at it. It was more like manual steering, okay, you will give you some brake assist and like, you know, an updated suspension. But other than that, like it was pretty much a go-kart in relation to what today's GT3s are.
Don't get me wrong. Like I was just at a meet this last Sunday and it was more like your exotic end. And like when you walk through and you see all like the 991s, the 992s, they're just stock. It looks like I'm walking through a dealership versus when I take the next road and I see a 996 turbo that's lowered, wheels built, or even like a 997 that was like parked the next row over. Like I get more excited about seeing those than I do on any of like your newer Porsche stuff. Does that?
Yeah, and the newer ones, I feel like the belt line has gotten too high. The wheels have gotten too big.
It's a big car.
It's a very big car.
It's a big car.
And especially, you know, you know, one of the cars that's on my list is a 74 Carrera. And, you know, especially when you compare that to today's 911s or even like a 996 GT3,
mm-hmm.
it's even smaller than that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you know, and I'm a bit of the pot calling the kettle black here, but, you know, I've got a wide body set up on my car. And, man, like the narrow version of these cars,
this is going to be a non-popular opinion, but I love the narrow bodies when it's aired out.
Yes, absolutely.
When the narrow bodies are on air, it's like a Volkswagen on air. It's just perfect. They go hand in hand. I think it's the body lines change completely when you see those things on air. Yeah, but, look at that. That's beautiful.
I mean, that's a 964 on air. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I feel like if Singer didn't come into the picture, those would be very affordable right about now.
100%. I'd agree with you on that.
I mean, Singer, it's like a double-edged sword with Singer and the 964. Like, they make it better, but then they also ruined it because it's just everyone that owns one, they're like, oh, Singer's going to buy it. They're going to build a car, or they're going to turn into a 930 that they're doing now. And like,
I get where you're going with it. And, but I am a fan of the Singer builds. I thought they were always cool. I even bigger fan. Cause I personally, I'm a 993 guy. Another non-popular opinion, I'd take a 993 turbo over a 964 turbo. Again, don't care, it's my preference. But that 3.6 by turbo on that, it's the perfect car on your 993.
Well, and the beautiful thing about the 993s is that they never really dropped in value.
No, never.
You know, that is the last air-cooled 911, and they have just held the value. And like, you know, Gunther is essentially doing
Gunther-works.
You know, what Singer did to the 964, they're doing that to the 993.
Big fan of the Gunther-works. But they're wide as well compared super to like wide. Your normal stock body lines on your 993. They're big.
I mean, I'd probably argue that they're probably putting a 12-inch wide, 10-inch front wheel in that car.
Oh, easy.
A lot of wheel in that car.
Easy.
A lot of wheel.
Big time easy. But yeah, no, a Gunther-works would be a nice add to the garage, but a 993 turbo would be more than I'd more than suffice on that.
Yeah. I just wonder what I would do with the Gunther-works car as far as, because they have the newer variation of it where I think they just released it at the Rolex reunion or during car week, where it was very much a bit of a throwback to aero disc and all that kind of fun stuff.
I was just going to say that too. I think I just saw that the other day. It was like a blue one with the white aero covers on them, aero discs on them.
It's like the love child of a 959 and a 993.
Yep, exactly.
Just that thing does it.
Yep, there it is. Big fan of this. I actually love the hood scoop on there.
Absolutely.
Fully functional, of course, because it's Gunther-works. Like how I say Gunther-works?
Well, I mean, could you, though? I mean, look at those discs, though. Like, that, they did it, man. Like, that build checks the boxes.
That checks all my boxes real, real easy.
I just, you know, I guess from an aspirational perspective, I would adopt that car.
100%.
It would take me a minute to get there.
It would take me a long bit to get there.
And I think these guys are putting, I think, at least a 4 liter in those things.
Yeah, it's a 4.0 in there, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's a strung out 4.
Yeah, I love it. I'm a big fan of the Gunther-works. Don't get me wrong, it takes away the classic portion of it, if that makes sense, you know, with the LED lights and all of that. But Big fan of what the Gunther-works does. I like the Gunther-works more than the Singers, but again, that's just me on the liking the 993 body more than the 964.
Oh yeah,
but
I mean that with the ducktail on it and
100%. But with more realistic build, would probably be like a 944.
Well, listen, a 944 with an LS swap.
No, you know. See. I saw it, and don't get me wrong, I loved every second of it. There was the same meet that I was talking about before with like a guy rolled up with a beautiful, clean, red 944 with the LS swap in there, and it looks great. It fits in there, but I think it's just such an overkill motor for that car. I feel like you don't need that much. Like, personally, for me, I'd probably be going more in like that V-dub VR6 aspect, even maybe a 2.5 turbo, five-cylinder turbo in there.
I've never seen that before.
Oh, they've been done. The VR6 swaps have been done on that 944. Even I saw one, and it's probably more rare, but it's an Audi 4.2 V8 done in there. It fits perfectly in the car.
I could get behind that. I mean, the LS, just at least here in the States, would just be that much easier.
Oh, 100%. Right? 100%.
But the Audi into that would be... a solid, I mean, a Corvette LS3 in there. Yes, please.
Yeah, no, don't get me wrong. It tickles my fancy on that, but if I think if I were doing the build, it's going to be a VR. I'd love to do a VR turbo in there, but a 2.5 with a single turbo on there would be beautiful. I think that'd be just enough power for the car. I think anything more is just like overkill.
Yeah, I mean, but overkill can be fun.
Overkill could be very fun. Yeah, there you go. The 2.5. Look, it's there's so much room in that 944. You could fit a big motor in there, but I just feel like that 2.5 with a turbo will be more than sufficient on that.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot to be said about not overpowering a chassis, right?
Yeah.
And just, you know, yes, you want to have fun with it, and you know, whether you want to drift or, you know, canyon or whatever, it's always fun to just, you know, goose it out a little bit and, you know, have some fun with the car. But, you know, when you're having to constantly fight how to drive it.
Yeah.
That makes it not fun. The experience.
100%. I'll agree with you there. But yeah, that's a 2.5 turbo in there would be pretty cool. Personally for me, I love the way the Wookiees 3.2 sounds. Or any VR, really, the 3.6 as well. Yeah. I think those are probably one of my favorite sounding cars. So,
and Max has jumped to one of the other cars that's on my list. Like I said, I have an eclectic mix, but you know, I would love for this car to make it to the States, but you know, I've got some time to wait. But the 70 Series Crew Cab from Toyota,
mm-hmm.
you know. I'm a big fan of the Land Cruiser just as a whole.
Uh-huh.
You know, there's a LX470 in the driveway and, you know, that thing's a beast. But the fact that Toyota still makes the 70 Series to this day is, I think, a testament to what it is. And, like, I guess the big question is, like, why would someone think something like this is an aspirational purchase?
Hey, you man. Know,
I'm a fan of utility, and the fact that it's as hard as it is to get them here in the States, I would argue this probably just the journey to get one here legally would be an aspirational journey to begin with.
It really would. I think that's probably more of a if Pablo Escobar was still around, he'd probably be driving one of those things around.
Oh yeah, I mean, and these things come with a V8 turbo diesel motor in them in Australia and a couple other places. And
you still have the old body lines on this thing.
But it's like a refined old body line. Yeah. That's the best part. Like the earlier ones seem like they're a little slightly more chiseled, but still just as boxy.
Mm-hmm.
This just, you know, and even from a utilitarian aspect of these things, you know, all the windows are flat, mm-hmm. like the door windows and stuff. And they did it because if you're in rural areas, and you can't get access to glass, like, you know, automotive glass and things like that, because this is a flat plane glass, you could essentially have it cut to put in.
Very interesting on that.
I mean, it's like all the little things, but
it's little things that nobody thinks about, though.
No, but it maybe back in the day they thought about it, right?
Yeah.
But like today, you know, when you think about what's readily available and how to get stuff and supply chain and this, that, and the other, you know, a lot of modern automotive glass is relatively easy to get. But because these things were built to be in like rural areas, you know, Toyota did their homework and they just held on to it. And why it's not here in the States, to me, is what makes it an aspirational purchase.
I feel like it wouldn't do good in the States. Like, it would only be, like, people like you and me buying these things versus anybody, their real market in the States.
Well,
it is cool, though, man. Like, I do got to say, that thing is pretty cool.
Oh, yeah. And, like, probably why it's not here in the States is just for crash regulations and, you know, all the government regulations that go along with new cars. Just going to make it here. But, man, if there was a way to import this thing and make it road legal in the States, like day-to-day normal kind of stuff, man, I'd be all about it.
Just buy a farm and then just drive it around on your land. You don't even have to drive it on the road. Just make like off-road trails. Just buy a bunch of land and just make off-road trails so you can drive it around the States.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, there's well, I guess if I was still in California with all the BLM land, that would probably be possible to just kind of roam about. But here in Tennessee, a lot of it's private land, and you know, I just
it's all right.
It's just land.
It's just land.
Ugh. But so while it seems like I've had, I think you and I share similar ideas as far as like German cars.
Oh yeah, Scott's not gonna like this one.
But see, this is where I'm going to bring it back around.
You want to know something? Because I think me and you both are going to bring this back around.
Okay.
Because,
you go first.
All right. If I'm going to go first, and this is a secret love of mine, probably one of the look at Max just prematurely bringing it up. That one actually wasn't mine. That was John's. But one of my biggest JDM loves, and probably would be one of my first JDM buys, would be a DC2 Integra Type R. It's so left field for me. Again, nowhere near like what I would even look at on a regular basis, but just something about that car, just I love it. I love everything about it. It just screams 90s. I love everything about this car.
Would you do it in the white or the yellow?
No, I'd go yellow. I'd be obnoxious about that one.
I
want everyone to see, yes, it's a Type R, yellow.
There's a video producer guy I know in LA area, and he picked one of these up. I think it's his daily.
Oh, it's a beautiful
and
daily.
He takes it to Laguna. He actually puts track time on it. Like I'm with you on this one. I was actually gonna put this one on my list of like
it's
something to get that's totally like it. Kind of obtainable, but it's something like you've got to work for it.
You
got
to work to find the right one. That's really it.
They're out there, but
they're out there, but also people are going to want crazy money for them.
Yeah, rightfully so, though.
Oh, 100%. I'm no disagree. I would do the same, but that is probably one of the first JDM cars I'd buy, besides like a Lexus LS, because that's just a big stance body car for me.
You gotta go low and wide with the big
old letter. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
But this thing is so athletic in nature, but just to the point and simple and not overly done.
Yeah.
And a lot of what makes this car what it is underneath. Not necessarily from an aesthetic perspective, like, yes, Type R logo and a couple other, you know, unique features to the vehicle, but like, the way that the body was made, spot welded body, like it's just everything is taken to 11 on this car.
Oh yeah, everything is taken into consideration with this car, and that's probably why I love it so much. Again, everybody could say, you know, R34 GTR, blah blah blah. I don't really care. I'd take that DC2, no problem, all day.
Yeah, I would definitely add it to my list as well.
Yeah. That'd be where I end that off on. What about you? Where would you go? Let's bring Scott back into here because Scott's gonna love to hear this.
So I'm looking at the big brother to this thing, right? I'm looking at the NSX.
Ooh,
and I would do an NA2. The NA1s are great, like, and I think back to like that old NSX video of Ayrton ripping that thing around the Japanese circuit
with his loafers.
And like probably put in one of the fastest times around, right?
Yeah.
But I would go NA2 because they went from the 3-liter motor to the 3.2 liter motor. They went from a 5-speed to a 6-speed. Like, and it was, yep. And I appreciate the pop-up headlights, but something about just that slight bulge in the front, you know,
big.
It's trimmed out. It's sleek. But I would go diving for the spoon one that was done, that's the Type R NSX,
mm-hmm.
It was converted to left-hand drive.
Ooh.
I'm game for right-hand drive cars. I think they're awesome. But to go left-hand drive with a Type R NSX, that to me would be top of my list of aspirational cars I would want to have
so
in the garage.
Frowned upon.
Why is it frowned upon?
I don't know. To take a right-hand drive and swap it back to left-hand drive or swap it to left-hand drive?
Yeah, but I mean, if that were the case, we would not be upgrading cars.
This is true. I'll give you that.
I mean, that's part of, I would say this is part of car ownership, is making it what you want the car to be.
Touche, and I'll give you that. I'll give you that because I was just saying earlier in this how we didn't want to be the white bread purist. And look at me over here. I just pulled out a purist comment so fast.
Now, don't get me wrong. If I could get a right-hand drive version of a Type R NSX, okay, fine.
Like, yeah.
Granted, I'm oversimplifying it. Like, I think it would be awesome. But even just to own an NA2 NSX would be that would be definitely a aspirational car. Like, it's almost on the verge of being a halo car for me. Like, what is just NSX as a whole and kind of how Honda's mindset is, and you know, it's not a ton of power. It really just is focusing on the driving experience.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the NSX is all about.
It's a great car. Sad to see it go too.
Now, the newer one is pretty dope. I mean,
newer one's dope, but it doesn't hold that old NSX value to me. Like, no. It just turned into an exotic, just like what they did with the GTR.
They still a very raw car, incredible car, but there's something, you know, sort of the lack of technology,
which makes it better.
Yeah, it just, you know, I mean, look at that thing. It looks wicked, especially in that orange. Like that does it.
I like them. Don't get me wrong. Definitely not saying anything bad about these, but I'm definitely going to take pop-up NSX all day. Pop-up headlights all day.
So are you going down the McLaren road then? Is that where would you do a McLaren?
No.
Aspirationally?
No.
No, doesn't do it.
I have a McLaren dealership that's close to my house, too, that I pass often. And, like, don't get me wrong. They're beautiful cars. But if I'm going down that road, or in that price bracket, I think I'm going to go either Ferrari or Porsche. But that's just, you know, that's just my taste.
Oh, Max Bullen F40. I mean, great. That and a 959. Like, those two go, that's the battle of the ages, right? I would probably rather go 959 than F40.
Mm-hmm.
But keeping in tune with, you know, the JDM side of it.
We just keep going to these cars that just are getting more and more pricey to the point where it's like they're dream cars, never going to own them.
Well, I mean, listen, we can all aspire to kind of, you know, professionally name it, right? And it's cool.
Overnight, like, Bitcoin millionaires.
Right?
That's the only way, dude.
The only tough part is like the tough part about owning like those gnarly halo cars is just the service side of it, right? Mm-hmm. Versus, you know, as Max is pulling up here, an EK Type R, this would be an aspirational car on my list. I mean, small, simple.
You know,
refined to the nth degree, and I would have no qualms putting miles on this thing and just running it, because for one, it'd be a hell of a lot cheaper to run than say, you know, a crazy.
Yeah, you probably have more fun with it.
Way more fun with it, and that's the whole point of buying these cars, right? So you can actually enjoy them,
mm-hmm,
and put miles on the road. You know, the smiles per gallon. I feel like on something like this is better. I'm probably going to get some hate for saying that, but you know, the whole point of getting these cars and kind of, you know, having these experiences, you can actually experience it as opposed to just sitting in your garage, staring at you with a wink and a smile, teasing you every time you look at it.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, you want to tease? Like, okay, let's go to the boardroom. Like, let's go. And that's what these are.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree with you there.
You know, but the look and the simplicity and all the right things.
You know me and hot hatches. Yeah, I'm always going to appreciate a hot hatch.
I mean, if you roll up to someone's house and they had the Integra Type R and a Civic Type R in the garage, you'd be like, that dude won the lottery. I mean, it's like, Or if it was like a McLaren, like, oh yeah, like there's your Bitcoin millionaire, right?
Kind of deal. Yeah.
But versus if you see two of those, like, all right, like I would probably argue that that person understands and how to appreciate vehicles.
Yeah, exactly. Well, on that note, I hope everybody lets us know what their cars would be.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. Like, drop it in the comments below. Let us know.
On that note, boys, we are out.
All right. Well,
great seeing you guys.
Doubt, as always.
It's always, John, pleasure. I'll talk to everybody soon. Later.
Adios.